What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Hey, listen, before we get into today's show, I want to talk to you about our analytics partner, Fantasy 5x5. That's fantasy5x5.com. All one word, no spaces in there. Of course, there are a number of tools that you can access for free. But the premium tools are some of the most unique that you have seen for NBA DFS. I'm not kidding. And with March just around the corner, I want to tell you guys, patreon.com/lineuplogic, get over there. The $15 package is going to allow you two things. Access to our cheat sheet, our Slack chat, our community, our models, Josh's big monster model, Josh's player rater, my matchups statistics model, as well as access to Fantasy 5x5 and all the premium features over there that Chris has. It's the best value in NBA DFS. The community is growing on a daily basis. The tools are excellent. You can learn to play. You can get better. And it's a great way to support the show. And I'll remind you this. I'm not affiliated with anybody big. This is me at my desk recording this podcast, grinding it out every day with my guys, Mike, Alex, Ryan, Josh, Sean, running our Twitter account. Jay writing his articles. It's just us. We're regular guys. We built this from scratch. We're going to continue to be a great resource for everyday DFS players. So if you want to come join something, you're thinking about a premium product for March, patreon.com/lineuplogic. Get involved. Now let's get into the show. What is going on? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in Lineup Logic Podcast, the daily fantasy podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the NBA DFS slate to come on Twitter. I'm your host, Sean Kane, on Twitter. The slate is on Twitter. In fact, you have to pick the the touts that are going to have the best takes. That's your lineup. We're playing on FanDuel, DraftKings. Okay, I'll just make that clear. Let's just be clear about this. We had an amazing slate last night. Amazing because I sat down and I watched Anthony Davis go to work. The man is tireless. He's unbelievable. He's a generational talent. You know, the whole he's soft or whatever. Take that and be done with it. He's unbelievable. He can score constantly on everyone, anyone in the league. I saw some conversation about whether or not the Celtics could use him. If for whatever reason, the Celtics, who, by the way, now have max deals attached to Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, max deals attached to these guys, a timeline that would fit Anthony Davis perfectly. If they aren't willing to start to part with some of these assets that they've stacked up and hoarded over the years, then guess what? You're going to get used to Eastern Conference Finals. Rondo was right. You're going to raise banners for Eastern Conference Finals, maybe, if you're lucky, making it to the Eastern Conference Finals. Good for you. Good for you. But you're not taking the next step. You're definitely not going to dethrone LeBron. You're definitely not even going to knock on the door with the Warriors. So what are you going to wait? You're going to wait for LeBron to retire, Celtics, Ainge? Make a move. I can't stand it. It's this idea, and I was seeing this on this Twitter conversation. I don't know if you caught wind of this. This idea that you would rather have Jason Tatum and a bunch of draft picks than Anthony Davis is foolish. It's foolish. It's stupid. It's asinine. You have a timeline to win now. If you don't want to win now, then wait. You're going to wait another 10 years. Because how many more years is LeBron going to play in the East and dominate? And then how many more years are they going to wait in the West? Best case scenario, Jason Tatum in 5 years is Paul George. Best case scenario. You would know if he was already LeBron. You would know if he was KD. He's not. Best case scenario, he's Paul George, which is a great scenario, but it doesn't fit your timeline with Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. Guess who does? Anthony Davis. Silly. Anyway, we got a slate to talk about. We don't need to talk about basketball. I've got issues with Boston fans. I'm sorry. I know a lot of you guys are Boston. I don't have issues with the individuals. But if you spend enough time in Boston as a non-Boston fan, as I did through my college years, you can start to get a little animosity. You can gain a little animosity. You guys understand what I'm talking about. You understand. There's only so many conversations about how great Tom Brady is that you have to endure while you're drinking beers before you just put down your glass and you walk away and you say, hey, guys, I'm going to go ahead and leave. Have fun talking about Brady. Anyway, all right, let's talk about this slate. I'm going to go through Vegas. I'm going to go through the injuries. I'm going to go through lineup rotations, ideas about teams, you know, trying to get a sense of what we have in front of us by a game-by-game basis. And then I'll jump into a player breakdown, try to get you guys out of here in a reasonable amount of time. So let's take a look at tonight. First game of the night, 206 total. It is the 76ers versus the Heat. This is only a 1-point spread. Now, this opened, the Heat were favored, and then it flipped to the 76ers. Interesting. Well, that's a big deal, right? Why is that a big deal? Because this indicates how tight this game is going to be. This is going to be a competitive game. Both of these teams in the mix in the bottom half of the East, you got to love that. They played this game before the break, and it was tight, but it was relatively low scoring. Not a massive return for Goran Dragic. Okay, this was literally the last game before the break. Not a massive return for Goran Dragic. Decent number for Tyler Johnson. Mediocre number for Josh Richardson. Didn't play a lot. Right, there was some. It was a low scoring game. Now, okay, right before the break, legs are tired. You had played a bunch of games, and Miami had just played a back to back. You have to think maybe the energy pops up a little bit here in this one. No doubt about it. Now, as far as Miami's injuries goes, of course, Kelly Olynyk probably out. I'm gonna guess out until we hear probable, because he's been out for a while. The shoulder seems to be a problem. They have depth at the power forward. And behind him, it's been about 20 minutes of Bam Adebayo and then about 20 plus 25 of James Johnson. Now, Justice Winslow played quite a bit in that Memphis game. Schematically, it's going to be who guards, who can guard who, which makes good sense. James Johnson played a lot in Matt Pell's game. Why? Well, he's a good fit against Mirotić, right? Size-wise, strength-wise. The ability to stretch out to the perimeter, whereas Winslow, not quite as big, it's a good matchup for James Johnson. Not a good matchup for Bam Adebayo, right? Based on the matchup, you are going to probably see the lineup respond to that. So my guess is that in that Philly game, by the way, they only all played 20 minutes. You'll probably see James Johnson closer to 28 minutes. You'll see Justice Winslow and Bam Adebayo back under the 20-minute mark. Okay, so just kind of keeping an eye on that four spot. That's how it's probably going to shake out. Josh Richardson, full minutes there for him. He'll be fine. Goran Dragic, full minutes for him, of course. Tyler Johnson, the same. That would be my expectation. Wayne Ellington and Dwayne Wade continue to play off the bench and playing well. They're kind of at the two and the three there, respectively. Not a ton of interest in this game. On the 76ers side of things, you know, we know what this rotation looks like. I think the one thing that we do have to keep in mind is that JJ and TJ McConnell are probably the two guys who are going to see a little bit of a dip because of the addition of Marco Bellinelli. That would be where I would assume they relieve some of the pressure. That would be my guess. Okay, that would be my guess. They're going to relieve some of that minutes pressure from those guys with Marco Bellinelli. But we still are going to probably see nearly 30 minutes for JJ Redick and probably in the 20 to 24 range on a nightly basis for Tej. Does that make them viable? It depends on the matchup, right? JJ in this matchup, not my favorite. I'm not gonna go there. I don't mind Ben Simmons in this spot. I don't hate Joel Embiid against, I don't hate Joel Embiid. He did not play in that game right before the break. because of the back-to-back. He did not play. So, well, not because of the back-to-back. They wanted to give him an extra day of rest. So we'll see what he does. But he's been on a tear since he came off of those fresh legs off the break. But they have played three games, which is crazy. A lot of teams have only played one, and they've already played three. You know, they played the first night back against Chicago. They played a back-to-back on the weekend, Saturday, Sunday. And here they are coming out Tuesday. So 4 games in 5 days for them coming off of the All-Star break. That's a lot. That's a lot. That's a lot. Let's go over to Sacramento at Portland, a 210 total here. This is Portland favored by 11.5. And this is another game that we saw right before the break. Dame Lillard, I'm not sure if you heard of him, put up 50. Yeah, that happened. That happened big time. Yeah, that was that was not a good moment for Sacramento. Remember, it was 29 minutes too. He didn't even play the fourth quarter. He put up 50 before the end of the third. I mean, that's what he's capable of, and that's the tear that he's on right now. So Damian Lillard very much in play on the Portland side of things. Other than him, we know what this rotation looks like. Nothing to be concerned about. The one thing I will say is that I do have a little bit more interest in Nurkic in this situation. Why? Well, rest. You know, when you're a big guy like that, who's really is, I mean, let's be clear about this. A lot of his game is effort dependent, and he can disappear in a lot of situations because he simply does not put forth the effort. Well, when he has the legs to put forth the effort, then I'm interested. I'm very interested. I'm not playing anybody at the three. I'm not playing the Mo Harkless, Evan Turner guessing game. I'm not that interested in it. It's CJ, it's Dame, it's Nurk. Maybe Aminu is a cheap option. On the Sacramento side of things, they played last night. Now, my guess is that you're probably going to see some guys get some rest. My thought would be that Garrett Temple and Vince Carter come off the bench tonight, that they will bring some relief to Bogdan, Justin Jackson, and Buddy Hield, who all played, you know, about 30 minutes plus last night. Scal, Willie Cauley-Stein will probably play their minutes, and they'll be fine. They'll get their normal minutes, of course. But I think you're probably going to see Garrett Temple get put into the rotation, which is interesting. You know, if he gets time, there's been some spots. It's not a perfect spot against Portland, but it's not a terrible spot either. So something to keep your eye on there. And of course, you know, it's a guessing game. It is a tragically difficult guessing game to try to figure out what the Sacramento veteran rotation is going to look like. No doubt about it, but there's definitely some interesting pieces if they're going to start to come off the bench. Washington at Milwaukee. This is an interesting spot. 212 total here. That's opened at 210. It's jumped. It's now a 3-point spread in favor of Milwaukee, which is just home court advantage. So Vegas is telling us these teams are in dead heat. They expect a tight one here. that is exactly what I expect. I will say this. On the Milwaukee side of things, the lack of Malcolm Brogdon has basically made Sterling Brown and Jason Terry relatively consistent 20-minute guys. But around them, that doesn't particularly interest me. But around them, guys like, I mean, Eric Bledsoe has been unbelievable lately. The consistency has been ridiculous. Chris Middleton, ridiculous. And Giannis, coming off of the break, struggled in New Orleans. Why, I'm not really sure. He didn't shoot particularly well. I don't know if it's the big letdown from the Toronto game. You know, watching him in that Toronto game, I kept seeing like what felt like he was being passive, but at the same time, it was steady. It was a very steady performance. Like he just kept slowly but surely pushing, pushing. And if you look at the usage was way down. I mean, it was only a 23% usage rate coming out of that game. Same in the New Orleans game. You would expect him to absolutely smash in a New Orleans situation. But it was it's weird. It's a weird feeling to kind of see a more passive Giannis, and you're kind of like pushing him, like, come on, man, go out and get some buckets. He was not passive in the last time that they met against Washington. He went out. They won that game. He had a 36% usage rate. Went for 27-20. Not kidding. 20 rebounds. The man absolutely destroyed. So I don't mind him here at this price. I think he's very interesting. On the Washington side of things, man, I tweeted about this on Sunday night, but the ball movement is unbelievable. The ball movement without John Wall is ridiculous. They have their assisted field goal rate is 10% higher without Wall on the floor. Are they better without John Wall? No, that's silly. I mean, John Wall's an all-star. He's able to create plays. He's able to destroy defenses, breaking them down, you know, collapsing them. If they were able to create the passing work out of what John Wall creates, then I think it would be interesting. But the ball seems to stick in his hands a little bit too often for that to continue. Now, Satoransky has been on a tear. He only put up 3 shots the other night in Philadelphia, and the man had 31 fantasy points. That's craziness. Bradley Beal, he's been a part of the system. He's not trying to take over. I think the price is a little bit too high for him right now, but I'll tell you, the price on a guy like Otto Porter, not too high. He's aggressive right now. He's taking a minimum of 10 or 12 shots on a nightly basis. His usage is up. The floor is up. The price is relatively stable at $7,200. I think it's interesting. I don't love the matchup with Chris Middleton, but I think it's interesting, and he's a key piece to that team. As for the rest of those clowns, Oubre, Keith, Gortat, you know, consistent. The floor is 20 for these guys. I mean, it really is. I mean, I think that that's how you have to evaluate it. I think that that's where the floor is these days. It's just how much are you paying for a possible 20-point outcome with a 30-point ceiling? That's the ceiling too, right? So you have to kind of be careful what you wish for if you're looking for that value there. Chicago at Charlotte, 216 total. Charlotte is favored by 10.5 at home. Chicago, of course, coming off the back-to-back where they really gave new life to the term tanking and absolutely getting walloped by Brooklyn and not even making it a relevant fourth quarter. You got to love that. You got to love it. If you are out tanking the team that has been tanking for the last 2.5 years. You're good. You're good at tanking. You got to give Fred Hoiberg a lot of credit for being really good at tanking and making it actually, you know, interesting to talk about. Because the Bulls are interesting to talk about, you know, but they're so bad. They're so bad. It's fine. You can look at them. You can watch them. They're watchable. They're interesting. That you can discuss them. Every once in a while, they pull off a little surprise run or a couple good wins or whatever the case may be. They take Philadelphia down to the wire, and then they go to Brooklyn, and they get torched by 20 in the fourth quarter. That's what you're dealing with. It's not a good basketball team. It's not a good basketball team. Now, good news is Justin Holiday's 1-for-11 ass will be sitting on the bench. Zach LaVine back in the rotation. But bad, not a great matchup for him. Fresh legs, I like it. Yes, I'm interested. The usage is there. The minutes are there. Obviously, the price is elevated. And Nick Batum, I think physically, is going to be a problem for him. He's just big. He's big. I mean, if Nick Batum is like 6'7". He's not particularly fast, but I don't necessarily think it's a perfect matchup for him, for LaVine. Chris Dunn should be back, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see him under 30 minutes on the back-to-back. They are trying to limit his minutes. I think the return of Zach LaVine is probably going to make Denzel Valentine and David Nwaba a little bit less interesting, but they did play together last night. Of course, part of the reason that you get walloped by the Brooklyn Nets is because Denzel Valentine takes 16 shots. Can't happen. Can't happen, Denzel. You got to be more Nwaba. He takes 4 shots. You got to be more Nwaba, less Justin Holiday. Just to be clear, Justin Holiday and Denzel Valentine combined 5-for-27 from the field. You're going to lose basketball games if those two guys are getting over 30 minutes, and they did. Now, Markkanen, interesting. I don't know. He just hasn't been doing that much on the edges beyond the scoring. So you kind of have to be concerned. Bobby Portis continues to be one of the most efficient fantasy creators on this team. So he is interesting. That is all. Do not get talked into the Cristiano Felicio trap. It's a trap. It's just that. It's that trap gif of Admiral Akbar. It's a trap. Charlotte. You know, I don't know what to say. Well, I don't know why Michael Carter-Williams scored 30 fantasy points, but he did. That's annoying. I'm interested in Nick Batum. I'm interested in the floor that he's shown lately, about 30 points. You know, the ceiling of 45 is an outlier because of the steals. He had, you know, a number of steals in that Detroit game just from errant passes across 20 minutes. He only took 10 shots. He only had, you know, 12, 15 points or something like that. So it's not really something that I'm going to necessarily project or feel comfortable with. Marv, MKG, meh. Not that interested. Frank, meh, not that. You know, so it is what it is. I think Dwight is an interesting spot. I think Kemba's in an interesting spot. And I'll look at Batum. I think he's starting to round into form a little bit more healthy. Cleveland at Brooklyn, 221 total here. Brooklyn would be coming off the back-to-back. Oh, no, excuse me, Brooklyn at Cleveland. They will come off the back-to-back. They flew to Cleveland tonight. 10.5 point spread here, but it's interesting. It opened at 11.5. So what is the public saying? They're saying that Cleveland's not that good still, and Brooklyn can cover. They're better than this. That's an interesting take, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. Brooklyn keeps things close. They're scrappy. They're healthy now. Rondae Howard, they're deep. They're super deep. And as far as, you know, like cohesion, the rest of the Cavs bench, like, if they make their threes, no one can beat them. But if they go 25% from the field, they're going to lose. Like, they have to make their threes around LeBron for this team to feel and look dangerous. It's just not going to happen because you don't have that many creators off the dribble. Clarkson, yes. But he's kind of a second. He's definitely the secondary creator. You know, we know what it is. It's LeBron for 35 minutes. It's everybody else for 24 minutes. There it is. So who do you play for 24 minutes? I don't mind Jeff Green. I don't mind Tristan Thompson. I'm probably attacking the front court. I don't know that I necessarily feel too comfortable. We were talking about this, Josh and Ryan and I, like, just a lot of, like, Rodney Hood question mark, Jordan Clarkson question mark, George Hill question mark. And those are big question marks. Those are dangerous, scary question marks. I will say Larry Nance is interesting, but Larry Nance is 5,600 and Jeff Green is min price. They're almost in the exact same role, right? I mean, aren't they? Roll off of LeBron, dunk the ball, get some rebounds. That's what they are, right? That's their job. So I don't know. Larry Nance is interesting, though, but he's expensive. That's a lot of price to pay for Larry Nance Jr. in this situation. You might get 22 minutes out of him. Clippers at the Nuggets. This is the game of the night, the game du jour, 231 total. Yikes, that is nice. And especially on a small slate, you're going to want pieces. You're going to want multiple pieces. You're going to want a lot of pieces. You're going to want to chop this game up. Serve yourself some pieces of this game. Multiple pieces, because it's going to be a tight one. Now, this spread is moving all over the place. It opened at 3. It's now 4. The Nuggets are favored by 4 at home here. And the total has gone down 2. Why? Why this line movement, Sean? Well, there's clearly some sharp money that thinks that Paul Millsap is going to play. And that's the rumor mill. He practiced all week last week. He's questionable with a wrist. He could come back here and play in this one. That would be huge. Huge for their defense. Huge for just overall controlling the game. The back line of the defense gets so much better with Millsap out there. he was the rim protector. Him and Jokic, Jokic can just stand there and just kind of take up space. And next to Millsap, you just can't challenge that rim as easily with Jokic and Millsap there. You know, it prevents Jokic from getting in foul trouble. It helps switching on the perimeter. He's capable switcher, you know, on the pick and roll. It's all that stuff. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. If Millsap comes back, it's going to change a lot. It's going to hurt Wilson Chandler. It's going to hurt Will Barton. It's probably going to make Torrey Craig irrelevant. Torrey Craig is going to become irrelevant. Trey Lyles is going to become borderline irrelevant. It's going to make Mason Plumlee hard to understand. So it's a big deal. So let's keep our eyes on the prize with Paul Millsap. If he comes back and he says he will play with no minutes restriction, or he will play 24 minutes or whatever it is, he is min price. And it's fucking an all-star at min price. Someone at FanDuel just wasn't checking their RotoWire notifications. They don't know what's going on. Paul Millsap, questionable. Biggest news of the slate. Got to keep your eye on it. On the Clippers side, Avery Bradley's got a groin. He's got a hernia, right? So he's out like 3 weeks. That hurts. That hurts, but it helps Tyrone Wallace slide into the lineup. Austin Rivers has been playing at the point guard. Tyrone Wallace has been playing at the two guard. They're not really doing a lot of Milos, which was a surprise to me in the Phoenix game, and a surprise that was not welcome in the Phoenix game. But, you know, that's where we're at. That's where we're at with this Clips team. Lou, of course, is interesting. He's just priced. The price just hasn't gone up on him, and that's just silliness. You know, we're still seeing it. Now, the big news that we have to be concerned with on the Clippers side, by the way, is the Gallo news. Hand injury. Man is never healthy. If he does not play, you got to love Tobias Harris. You got to love Tobias Harris. Just extra shots, extra usage, extra rebounds. It's all there. The extra fantasy scoring will go to Tobias Harris. And Tyrone Wallace played phenomenally well against Phoenix. Will he play all those minutes again? I don't know if he will. I mean, 36 minutes for that guy against Phoenix seems like he was a hot hand type situation. It's concerning, but with no Avery Bradley and no Gallo, I think you could go to him. He's clearly a better offensive piece than Wesley Johnson. Yeah, I think that's where you're at with your Clippers. The front court, though, is probably the most interesting. DJ versus Jokic is going to be interesting, and I would prefer the Jokic side with the way he is playing right now. All right, let's move over to the player breakdown, and let's figure out who we love.
Who do you love?
All right, we start at the top of the slate here. Going to go ahead and get you guys through some of the high-priced studs, of course, position by position. It's got to start with Damian Lillard at Sacramento. He's got Sacramento at home. He's 10K on FanDuel, 9-7 on DraftKings. Listen, it's not an ideal matchup as far as pace and total goes. And we saw this, you know, we see this with every time in Sacramento. You love the fact that they're terrible at defense. You hate the fact that they run, you know, a bottom five in pace, and that you're always going to be like 10-point favorites in a low total game. And it's the second lowest total on the slate. Or third lowest total, I don't remember. But point being is this isn't Dame, you know, versus the Nuggets, where you can easily with confidence say, oh, I love the pace, I love the total, there's going to be a ton of possessions. You add to that you're paying a season high price. I don't know when the last time I saw Damian Lillard over 10K. I don't think he was over 10K at all last season. Like 9.5, 9.6, maybe 9.7 was the highest price we saw on him. But 10K for him is a bananas price, but it deserves it. He's been on fire. He's 52 in the last five. Just ridiculous. He put a 67 against this team. He's been over 60 frequently. Just raw points. Just pouring the ball into the bucket. The man is a phenomenal scorer, an even better shooter. I don't know if that actually makes sense, that sentence. Let's think about that for a second. He's a phenomenal scorer. He's an even better shooter. Yeah, the sentiment is clear, but it's a terrible idea. It's a terrible sentence. Delete, 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 delete. The thing that's crazy about this guy is there's just no one to stop him here, but you have to kind of, I think, temper your expectations. And if you are bearish, it's because you're going regression, 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 regression. And if you're bullish, you're going, nope, no one can guard him. Nope, nope, no one can guard him. And Josh and I were talking about this, and I go, man, regression, regression, that price is so pricey, that price, that price is so pricey. I said that. No, I didn't. I just said it's the season high price. And he goes, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Wasn't that a season high price for Anthony Davis last night? Wasn't he supposed to regress? Crickets. Crickets. There's certain players and situations that just maybe aren't ready for regression. If this CPU is playing Brooklyn, I would say maybe he slows down a little bit. This is a decent defensive team. They have some capable bodies, you know. Toronto, I'd say definitely he's going to slow down. Teams that are good, you know, competent, top of the half, top half in defensive rating. Toronto's even better than that. I don't know why I referenced them, but you get my point. There's a possible regression here. Bradley Beal at Milwaukee, 8,500, 8,900 on DK. I think it's too much. I think it's too much on DK, especially. 8,500, you could justify it. You could justify it because, of course, the usage is there. Of course, the minutes are there. Man is he's phenomenal. I love it. There's been a very wide range of outcomes. That's what I don't like. And you have below him a ton of shooting guards in the 7K range that just don't have a wide range of outcomes. The 30-point floor guys, Chris Middleton, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Nick Batum. Like, these are a few of my favorite things. CJ McCollum. This is my favorite profile for a shooting guard in my roster. It's like, I don't have to guess. No, I'm going to get 32 points, right? That's what I love. Beal, not so much, right? Especially against Milwaukee when he's going to be the primary ball handler against Chris Middleton. He's going to get Chris Middleton defense. Chris Middleton defense is good. I think that there's some concern there. Of course, Bradley Beal shows up in big games. This is a big game. It's a tight spread. He's on the road. He's been fine on the road. Doesn't bother me necessarily. He's been better at home, but he's been fine on the road. I just don't necessarily know that you're going to get over 40. 38 feels solid. Can you take 38? Or do you say, okay, 38 is the ceiling for a guy like Chris Middleton or Nick Batum, and I feel better about their point per dollar. That salary flexibility allows me to get to someone else. $1,000 is a big deal, right? But if you're paying $1,000 for maybe 3-4 points, I'm not doing that. Anyway, small forward, Bron and Giannis. Oof. Ooh. My initial thoughts on this slate was I want them both. And I do. I still do. But I don't know. Center is pretty sweet, too. LeBron versus Brooklyn, 11-5, 11-7. Obviously, when you say LeBron versus Brooklyn, you go, yeah, okay, easy, lock button. This is the same as Russ versus Orlando. But, oh, God, if that was an omen, right? Oh, fuck, that. It was like, it came down to two lineups for me, and I was like, all right, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do Russ and Len in one of them, and then we're going to flip-flop it, and we're going to go AD, and we're going to go Trey Burke in the other one. I'll give you one guess which one cashed. The old cover your buy-ins night. LeBron versus Brooklyn, he's the only Cav playing more than 25 minutes, and he hasn't been below 50 fantasy points since the rebuild. The floor is there, the usage is there, everything flows through him, the minutes are there. He's had two nights of rest. What did they play? Saturday night they played the Spurs? It was Saturday night. Brooklyn is a great opponent because of pace, because of the total. It's the second highest total on the slate. We love that. We were worried about, you know, potentially Bron suffering the lopsided advantage in the Memphis game. Didn't happen. Okay, great. He put up 57 here last time. I think it's 50 and 64. He's averaged 57 against this team. I just don't think that he blows. Brooklyn is the team that you're actually really like this year because of their ability to stay in the game, right? That has been an appealing piece of this Brooklyn team. They stay in games. They're bad, but they're good enough to hang around. That's why this line is moving towards Brooklyn. So I think Bron is in a great spot. I think a lot of people will play him. I think 60, 70% ownership, and I have zero issue with playing LeBron tonight. Giannis versus Washington, 11K, 10-7. I talked about the numbers right now aren't that aggressive, and you're getting a little bit of a discount on him because he hasn't been aggressive. This is a game, though, that feels like a good one. I mean, if they come out of the break, and well, they just lost to New Orleans. That was a heartbreaker. But if they come out of the break and in the East they beat Toronto and Washington, the East needs to be on notice. That's a big deal out of the break, right? If you beat two of the other, you know, contenders in the, and when is the Philadelphia Milwaukee game, right? When's the next one of those? With like, that's where we need to be. If they come out and they beat, you know, these types of teams, it's a big deal. And I think that this is a statement game for them. I think Giannis goes in there and plays 36, 38 minutes. I think it's competitive. He put up 47 in one game, but then he put up 63. And I mentioned this, 26 and 20 rebounds. That's insanity. We've been attacking the three against this team, you know, against the Wizards. It's the 4-2, and Markieff Morris will not guard Giannis. It's just not going to work. I just don't see it. I don't see a scheme in which they have the ability to guard Giannis. It's primarily going to be Otto Porter. Good defender. He's not perfect. In this situation, I think it's a high total. It's a tight game. That's the situation you want to stud in. I want them both. I want Bron and Giannis. If you had to ask me, I think it's Bron is the obvious, easy choice. I think Giannis is the pivot, and I think he's a phenomenal pivot. He may even be your choice if you feel better about him, or that salary relief allows you to do something else that you really like with your lineup. Doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother me at all. Similar range of outcomes. I think they both have a floor of 50 here. Ben Simmons versus Miami. Josh is in on Ben Simmons, and his point is this: competitive spread, tight game. Simmons is going to be on the floor a lot, relatively easy price, doesn't have to do a ton of scoring to hit value. This is going to be the kind of game where Simmons gets up and down, rebounds, assists, points, etc., but has to play those 36, 37 minutes. I think it's an interesting idea. You know, there have been some decent guard performances against them lately. He did not have one of them. He struggled against Miami. Makes sense. We know they're a good team defense. They're going to try to take Simmons away. They're not going to let him attack the rim very easily. So, okay. You know, I don't know. I don't know how much I love it, but I think it's an interesting pivot. Jokic versus the Clips. Oh, please don't play Paul Millsap. I love this spot for Jokic. He's 10-2, 10-5 on DK. Centers versus the Clips been an issue lately. Just ask Alex Len. He was the one that made, this was the game that made us fall in love with Alex Len, right? So it's got to be a good matchup. You know, I mean, it's just, it is absolutely a spot that we want to get involved with. If you're looking at trends right now, they continue to give up big games. In fact, it continues to be a trend. In the last 10 that they've given up big games, they have. And so we absolutely have to look at this as a trend that we're interested in, especially for, you know, a guy like Jokic, who has been on a tear. He was on a triple-double streak. I think, I don't remember how many games, but he's been on fire lately. Over 50 in 4 of the last 5. One of those, he was over 70. This is what this guy is capable of. Because he's capable of pulling in 15 rebounds and throwing 12 assists, you get these Russ-like numbers every once in a while from him. He struggled in one of these games, if you remember. That was the Mason Plumlee game. You remember that? The Mason Plumlee game? When Mason Plumlee went out and put up 40 on the Clippers? I do. I remember that game. Because it was like, what the fuck is going on? Why does Mason Plumlee have 16 and 8 at the half? Someone kill me. I love Jokic here. I think the pivot is directly to JoJo, and JoJo is not going to get a lot of love on this slate. Low total, high price, you know, whatever the case may be. I think it's interesting. I mean, look at what Davis just did against this team. It's unique. I don't think people are going to play him, but this guy is the most dominant center that we have had in the league. And the idea that Hassan Whiteside is going to stop him, just doesn't work for me. I just don't think it's true. Now, I don't like the pace necessarily for him. I don't like that there's not going to be, you know, a lot of extra possessions. But, like, and there's been some mediocre performances here. But he really hasn't faced a lot of good centers. You just have to be concerned about the whole team scheme limiting him. And the last time out that he played against Whiteside, he only had 39 fantasy points. I think it's unique, but I think we might be forcing it a little bit. I don't know how to couch that. I can't necessarily say like it's a good spot. It's just not a ceiling spot. It's just not a ceiling spot for him. But there's never a bad spot for Joel Embiid. Moving over from a real basketball perspective, moving over to the Grout, 9K below, Kemba Walker versus Chicago. He is 9K on FanDuel on the nose. And I like that spot. I like this one a lot. 8-6 on DK. That's a really nice price as well. He's been playing well. He struggled in that Detroit game, but remember, he didn't really have to apply themselves. They were up by like 20 at the half. It's a decent spot. I mean, the backcourt plus minus is the third best spot on the slate. You usually attack the shooting guard here, but I don't have a problem with Kemba Walker in this situation. In fact, I think he's a nice floor play. I think you're getting a minimum of 40 points from him in this situation, as long as this isn't a blowout, right? Which 10-point spread for this team is ridiculous. But as long as this isn't a blowout, I think you're getting a floor of about 40 here. You know, he put up 30 last time out against them, but just shot really, really poorly. You know, wasn't really able to do a lot of scoring. And then he put up 60 earlier in the year. And that is the ceiling for Kemba these days. I mean, he has been really, really good lately. You know, right before the All-Star break, he had two games. You know, three games before the All-Star break, he had a 50, a 40, and a 49. And then right coming out of the break, put up 46 on Brooklyn. That's kind of where I would put him, right? Which he put up almost 30 points. He didn't have one rebound, which is just ridiculous. But I think that works. Austin Rivers and Jamal Murray are interesting too. Jamal Murray 7K, Austin Rivers 5'6". They're going to face off against each other, but they're both yielding numbers. I mean, Rivers hasn't allowed less than 27 fantasy points to the position, which is basically Jamal Murray's floor. Now, if Paul Millsap comes back, you're going to expect some of that usage to siphon off. You're going to expect some things to change. I don't necessarily know how I feel about that, but if Paul Millsap isn't there, you know, I think Jamal Murray's interesting. I mean, he, like I said, Rivers hasn't allowed less than 27 since he's come back. He's given up massive numbers to Kyrie and Steph, 45 to Kyrie, 65 to Steph. Big numbers there. Jamal Murray's the same. He's actually worse. He's actually, you know, kind of like had a floor of like 30. The one guy that they both seen within the last five was Elf. Okay, so Elf went up against both of them. He went for 31 against Rivers and 36 against Murray. Well, there you go. There you go. There's your comp. And that's right on target with season averages. So I would say target a season average number. For Rivers, it's probably 26. For Murray, it's probably 30, 31, 32. I think it'll be popular. It's a pace-up situation. We know he has a little bit more of a ceiling. So I think Murray is an interesting spot here too. At shooting guard, depth, baby. Depth. Huge depth. Chris Middleton, though, might be one of my favorites. 75 on FanDuel, 67 on DK. Middleton, he plays the three, and that actually is where you want to attack this team. So I think it's a little bit more logical on DraftKings. You know, the positional stuff is a little bit more logical, but on FanDuel, maybe you're exploiting that, right? You want to attack it with someone consistent. The DK price is just too cheap. He's just literally averaged 35 points in the last five, exactly a fantasy point per minute, playing over 35 minutes per game. He's just so damn consistent. So I think that's definitely somewhere that I would go. 27 in one game against this team, 40 in the other. I like this spot for him. CJ McCollum, he's nice too. 7,700. Similar numbers to Chris Middleton. Literally just talked about him. 77 on FanDuel, 75 on DK. the minutes we know are there. About a fantasy point per minute. Thing that I would say is he's actually averaging like 31 per game right now. And you're paying for a guy who has a similar range of outcomes, maybe a little bit more of a ceiling than Chris Middleton. But probably, will he be higher owned or lower? I don't know. You know, higher total, that's for sure. Better matchup, that's probably true. But I just think Chris Middleton at home, a little bit more consistent, more competitive game. I probably would go to Middleton in that situation and expect or hope for a better return. Maybe play them both. Will Barton and Gary Harris are very interesting too. Will Barton, you know, but they take a hit again if Millsap is back. That's one of the bigger concerns that you have. Gary Harris, 67 and 6K on DraftKings. That's a good price on DK. 35 minutes. He's averaging 30 points. He kind of busted back out of that slump after the All-Star break. He, you know, he got back up to that 30-point floor that we expected from him. Will Barton has the ceiling, right? You play Harris for the floor, you play Barton for the ceiling. And the fact of the matter is you do have to pay for that ceiling. You know, Barton has been really good. I mean, he put up a 50 burger against Houston, but do you want to pay for that ceiling in a kind of a questionable situation again, you know, maybe with Paul Millsap's return? That's what I'm worried about, right? That's what I'm worried about. Is his paying for that ceiling worth fading other guys right at that price range? I don't know. The matchup is good. You've been attacking shooting guards against the Clippers for sure, no doubt about it. Nick Batum might be one of the guys that people go overlook. You know, I don't know, though. You know, people like playing him. They like playing him when he's really cheap. I don't know how much they'll like playing him now. Chicago's yielded some big games here, and Batum is actually playing very well for the first time in a while. You know, we expect him to do the points, the rebounds, the assists, the steals. That's what he's been doing recently. You got to like that. You're paying 7K, though, for a guy who, you know, on the season is more like a 24, 25-point guy versus what he's been doing lately. This is, you know, this is an outlier. Like, this is not consistent with what we've expected from Nick Batum this year, and I think we have to be careful what we wish for with this price. We can't necessarily expect and say that his role in this offense has changed. It hasn't. It's the same role. He's scoring more fantasy points. So that's kind of a red flag for me. Moving over to the small forward position, Otto Porter, man. Like, if you watch that Sunday night game, you know, he's just, the comfort level is there, the aggressiveness is there, the consistency is there from a fantasy perspective. He's getting to the rim, he's shooting the three, he's rebounding, we know he's doing that, and you see it in the numbers, right? Rebounds are up by 2, points are up by 4, usage is up by 4%. It's all there. He's averaged 34 points in the last 5. Everything is up across the board. It's the burden of responsibility that he's taken on without John Wall. He had a good game, too, against these guys in one spot. 37 in one of those games, 25 the most recent opportunity. But that makes sense, that 25 points is more in line with what he was doing with John Wall out there. You're adding, take away 4 points, take away 2-3 rebounds, take away a half a steal, boom, you're at that 25-point mark versus the 32, 34 points that we were seeing. On paper, measuring the matchup, not a good spot. I mean, this is not, I mean, the funny thing about this game is you have to kind of measure it outside the box because it doesn't pop in any models. Like, there's no reason to play anyone from Washington, Milwaukee, or from Philadelphia, Miami. There's really not anybody in there that you're like, based on the numbers, this is a great spot. None of the algorithms are going to spit these guys out at going 5X. What you expect is competitive game, full minutes. That's the situation. And you try to go to a guy who's priced well in that situation. Porter's one of them. I mean, over 35 is not crazy, and he's only $7,200 at a relatively thin shooting guard position or small forward position. I think Porter gives you a floor. The problem is when you pay for a guy like Porter, you're probably compromising somewhere else. And you have to feel good about the compromise you make at that other position. Does that make sense? You know, you'd prefer paying 6K for Porter than you would 7K because getting 30 plus from him at 6K, you love that. Can you find a 6K guy instead of Porter to put in there? Or are you paying? You know what I mean? So the trade-off is kind of the issue that I have. Demari Carroll, though, you don't really have to have a trade-off with Demari Carroll versus Cleveland. And here's what's key to me about the Carroll thing. Carroll started at the 5 or the 4 last night, okay? The minutes are there. The fantasy points are there. He's been over 30 minutes. He's been, at about 30 fantasy points per game. He's at 5,700. This is a guy where the price doesn't necessarily reflect the production. So you kind of have a little bit of a leverage play here versus Otto, where you have, less production for price. Does that make sense? Less production for... Carroll is really interesting. The one thing I will say is the back-to-back, the depth now on that team makes me a little bit concerned. Are they going to sit him? I don't know. That's hard. It's hard to know whether or not we're going to see an issue for Carroll in this spot. Looking through this on Carroll, let me see. He's not listed as a back-to-back warning guy for Fantasy 5x5. The numbers have been consistent. We know that. I'm going to kind of manually look through some of these back-to-back situations, see if the minutes drop. Well, the minutes didn't drop on the 27th. The minutes didn't drop on the 30th. Oh, well, no, they did. They went from 24 to 35 in one night. And then right before the break, he did it. He did 29 and 33. Last night, he played 26. Well, that's a damn good sign. 26 for him means that tonight he'll probably be clear to go over 30. That I like. So Carroll at 30 minutes here, that feels good at 5,700. I think that this is a spot. And you want to attack the four here. This is where you want to attack Cleveland. It's not really the backcourt anymore. It's not really a point guard, shooting guard. It's now kind of, at this 3-4 position where they really didn't have a lot of turnover, which is where LeBron is. He's just not playing that hard. Power forward, you got to like Tobias Harris, especially if Gallo is out. I mean, you saw the usage bump. You saw the scoring ability without Gallo in the lineup at the Phoenix game. This isn't a Phoenix-like matchup at all, but the price is relatively low. You have a pretty thin position, to be completely honest with you. If he's out, I think you got a hat of him for too cheap, too consistent, and I think I think it's good chalk. If Gallo is out, no doubt about it. So that is kind of where I'm at with Tobias Harris. The rest of power forward, fuck. That's really my analysis. I don't know. You're not going to pay seven. Are you going to pay $7K for Zach Randolph? Rondae Hollis Jefferson for 22 minutes. Dario's nice, but this is not a great matchup versus Miami, Dario's nice, but Markkanen hasn't been there lately. Larry Nance is so expensive, but you'd like the matchup. I don't know. It's hard. Like, you kind of almost go down all the way to Al-Farouq Aminu and you go, give me 30 minutes at $5K against a bad Portland or against a bad Sacramento team. Why not? Why not? And then you go, why not? Well, why? I'll tell you why not, because he fucking put up 12 against Phoenix. That's a good point. It's really interesting that you may bring that up. That's what you're dealing with, right? That's where we're at with power forward. It's a disaster. Not fun. Not fun. Let's go over to the center position, and I will say this. Wee you. Nurk alert. Nurk alert. Nurk alert. Sorry. That was for Donald Remington. And Culv, that was for you guys, Alex and Culv, that was for you, the Nurk alert. It's Nurk alert time. 7,300. He played phenomenally well against Phoenix the other night, coming off of his third day of rest. They didn't play since Saturday, right? They played Saturday. He played great against Phoenix on Saturday, 29 minutes, rested Sunday, rested Monday. Boom, Tuesday, he's at home. You like this spot against Sacramento. He played 25 minutes against them after a back-to-back. But he's been nice lately, man. I mean, the floor has been like 30. Although, we had some rough spots where he just didn't show up. And if he only gets 20 minutes. But after like 3 days of rest, for example, 3 days of rest was like the Charlotte game. He came out, he played 32 minutes. He put up a double-double. The rest matters for Nurkic, and I talked about this, when he has that rest, he's so much more engaged. He's a big guy. I'm looking at these, like,
2 days of rest, he went out against Denver and put up a double-double. 3 days of rest, he went out against the Clippers and put up a double-double. Like, Nurk has 40-point potential, and you want him with fresh legs, and you want him in a great matchup against Sacramento. They're bad. He's probably under-owned because people worry about the consistency, but I'm interested. I like Nurk alert here in this situation. Let me actually check the 5x5 well-rested boost. Yeah, that's true. They have a well-rested boost. It consolidates guys who are coming off of multiple days rest and checks that against their games where they already were rested. Yeah, fantasy5x5.com. Get involved. Well-rested boost. Well-rested boost. There's the back-to-back warning. There's the rematch boost. There's the paced boost. The well-rested boost. Nurk, right there, boom, plus 4.5, averages 35 on 2-plus days rest. Yeah, guys, it's a real thing. It's a real, real thing. Definitely interested in that. DeAndre, though, too. DJ, go DJ, that's my DJ. You know, he plays really well off of rest, especially at home. And, well, he's not at home. Fuck. All right, let's go to the bargain basement. Talk a little bit about some of these bargain basement dwellers. Point guard, Tyler Johnson. That is all. Honestly, that's it. That's all I got. And Tyler Johnson, that's all I trust. I'm not doing George Hill. The scoring isn't there. The scoring isn't. He had a great game against Memphis, though. You do George Hill if you... Talk to someone else about George Hill. Don't talk to me about George Hill. I don't know how to read him. Shooting guard, Bogdan and Buddy are fine. Garrett Temple's going to play, and that makes them a little bit more nerve-wracking here. J.J. Redick at 5,100, that's cheap. Jordan Clarkson at 5K, that's cheap. I like that. And I like Rodney Hood and Tyrone Wallace at 4-5. I like those. That's any one of those guys you can feel good about. I think Wallace gets the most minutes of all of them. Especially if Gallo is out. Wallace gets the most minutes of all of them. Small forward, Alan Crabb, I guess. He's just been good. I mean, he's consistent. He's too cheap the way that he's playing. Kelly Oubre is playing a lot of minutes. I don't mind him. Jeremy Lamb. There's going to be a Jeremy Lamb game, and this might be the one. I think it's interesting. He's cheap. He's 4,800. You only need 25 points against Chicago, no doubt. Look at what Crabb and Carroll did last night. This is a spot. Small forwards versus the Bulls. Wings versus the Bulls. Jeremy Lamb coming off the bench. He's their primary scorer. 22 minutes of Jay Lamb. What does that get you against Chicago? You know, could be a good one. Could be terrible. I don't know what to say. Yeah, that's it. I mean, I guess Denzel Valentine, somebody else sits. Charlotte, small forwards. But, you know, I mean, he's just not. He rebounds well. That's what I like about him. I don't know. But Charlotte's a good rebounding team. Brooklyn is not. Power forward, Larry Nance, I said 5,800. That's a lot. Markieff Morris is 55. John Henson is 55. I think that they're both perfectly fine, and you expect a similar range of outcomes, 25 points. I think that's where you're at here. It's like, who down here is going to give me 25? And I can just say, you know, you're not a problem. Kaminsky's not a bad, terrible spot. I mean, since the All-Star break, he's been good. In 22, 24 minutes, he's the same as Jeremy Lamb, right? But he's 4,400. Bench scoring, he's the primary go-to center guy on this team off the bench. Chicago, bad, bad basketball team. So this is the kind of situation where Kaminsky takes advantage. 4,400 is a perfectly fine price. If he gets you 20, you're fine. You're not going to kill. He's not going to kill you. And so... When you have, I think sometimes when you have positional scarcity, you feel like, okay, I'm going all the way down. I'm punting the shit out of this because it's just not worth getting burned by someone who's, you know, 5,500 and gives me 18 points. Whereas, you know, I get 18 points from someone who's min price. I'm fine. And that min price guy is Jeff Green. He's interesting against Brooklyn. The fact that Larry Nance is 5,800 and Jeff Green is 3,500 just doesn't equate based on their roles. They're almost the same player in this system. So it just kind of drives me a little bit kooky to see that. I apologize for saying kooky. That was pretty much my mom. That was just all my mom right there. Anyway, all right, moving over to FanDuel.com. Let's throw together a lineup. Oh, look, I already did. Here it is. Let's see what we got. And I'm going to change it after this. Austin Rivers, De'Aaron Fox, Chris Middleton, Tyrone Wallace, Giannis, Otto Porter, Jeff Green, Tobias Harris, Yusuf Nurkic. 1, 2, 3, 4 players that are in that 7K range. High floor with a little bit of ceiling. You take the 30 that you're probably going to get. You could get 40 from them. Middleton, Porter, Harris, Nurk. That's interesting to me. Now, it's also interesting to try and figure out how to get LeBron and Giannis in your lineup. And I think that what you do to get LeBron and Giannis in your lineup, by the way, De'Aaron Fox is just a play because what else do you do at point guard that's consistent 30 minutes in a decent price? Tyler Johnson is the only one. I think he's interesting. Tyler Johnson is the other 30-minute guy there, which is why you would play him. Frank Mason, when are you coming back? Where are you, Frank Mason? I mean, he's back, but when is he coming back? The LeBron Giannis version of this is basically all I have to do now is I got to go down to Tristan Thompson at center, which is, by the way, a great center option. It's Brooklyn. There's so many rebounds to get. Thompson is only 4,800. There's got to be 25 points. Like, you got to get 25 points against fucking Brooklyn, man. Come on. Right? You know, this is the best center matchup on the slate. So that's an easy place to save. You lose a lot of upside because there's upside at that position. And then you go over to Bron and Giannis, and you have about 5,300 left per player. Maybe I get a little bit of Tyrone Wallace back into my life. I get a 50. Yeah, I mean, this isn't that bad, right? Like, here we are. This is a Cavs stack, more or less. And it's Austin Rivers, De'Aaron Fox, Chris Middleton, Tyrone Wallace, Giannis, Bron, Jeff Green, Larry Nance, Tristan Thompson. Four Cavs in my lineup against Brooklyn. You know, but cheap, right? Like, between Green, Nance, and Thompson, what do I need? I need 70 points amongst you guys? Like, come on, pitch in. Everybody do your part. Give me 70 points. That's not crazy. 25 from each of them, maybe-ish. Larry Nance is just so expensive. I don't know how I feel about that. If I go down off of Nance to a Frank the Tank, for example, I could go up to a Jamal Murray, which is interesting. Austin Rivers, Jamal Murray, Chris Middleton, Tyrone Wallace, Giannis, Bron, Jeff Green, Kaminsky. You know, that's an interesting way to do it as well. See what news we get. The Millsap news matters. The Gallinari news matters. Those are the big keys. That's what you're worried about. All right, guys. Hey, good luck in your contests. I love you. Goodbye.